Two journalists from New York were arrested yesterday as they were trying to leave the site of the tar sands blockade, an ongoing encampment in Texas where activists have occupied treetops in the path of the southern branch of the Keystone XL pipeline, trying to block construction. Today is day 17 of that blockade. Ron Seifert is a spokesperson for the blockade. He says Elizabeth Arce and Lorenzo Serna were arrested last night after spending a week documenting the protests from the platforms and catwalks up in the trees.
They were freelance journalists. They do some live streaming, and they were allowed access up to the trees to do some interviews and take some footage. However, when they wanted to come down, police told them they could not come down without the risk of arrest. So they spent nearly a full week trying to find a safe way to evacuate, get to the ground, and get away without arrest, and ultimately were unable to do so. So last night they just came down into the waiting arms of the police and were arrested for trespassing simply for trying to cover the story.
How many people are in the trees right now?
Right now there are, I believe, 6 people in the trees. The trees I conflate with our timber wall, which is all connected to the village. So there's this wall built out of the forest itself that's a good 40 feet high and has a catwalk running along its top that spans over 100 feet along the right-of-way.
Has this effectively stopped construction?
Well, yes and no. The 500-foot stretch of the pipeline is the only thing with an eye shot, north or south, that has not been clear-cut and destroyed by TransCanada. However, they have built a road, an access road, along the western flank of their original path. So there's a big curve cut out of the pipeline route as it would look from an overhead view, like a big letter C. And we don't know at this time if they're planning on rerouting the pipe along that road or if they just cut it out so they could commute around the tree village itself. Survey stakes still exist through the tree blockade, so it appears as though they would like to cut down that swath of forest and continue running the pipe in a straight line instead of making this horizontal jag off to the west. But at this point, it's being surveilled 24 hours a day by anywhere from 6 to 10 private security folks who are actually sheriffs and deputy sheriffs that are being paid by TransCanada to police the area. It's also being monitored with floodlights all night long, bright lights being shined in the faces of all the sitters and blockaders. So it seems they are very much actively still trying to persuade through psychological stress that the blockaders come down from their positions, but fortunately their resolve and their conviction is such that they are willing to stay up there for as long as it takes.
What's happening in the courtrooms and the legislative halls? Is there any progress being made on stopping this pipeline?
Well, we hope so. There's several legal battles ongoing as we speak. There's a coalition of landowners that is in litigation with TransCanada regarding this writ of possession concept that TransCanada is claiming to be the landlord and has been granted the power of eviction on people's homes and along the right-of-way. Additionally, there are landowners that are challenging TransCanada's eminent domain entitlement here in the state of Texas, claiming that TransCanada has never authenticated or verified in any way, shape, or form that it deserves this common carrier demarcation, that it is, in fact, operating in the public good or the public interest needs to be verified, and that has never been done. So those are ongoing legal battles. Additionally, tar sands blockade is encouraging and working towards class action civil litigation against TransCanada for fraud and abuse of land agency, as well as some of the abuses blockaders and peaceful protesters that have faced from TransCanada supervisors and from law enforcement. It's been nothing short of harassment and brutality. Just last week, a great-grandmother named Eleanor Fairchild was arrested on her own farm for trespassing, and she was inspired to take action to walk out and try to stop bulldozers from destroying her property because of what she saw tar sands blockaders doing nearby in the tree blockade. So the message is getting out there, and people understand they don't have to be bullied anymore. People understand now that they can rise up and defend their homes, that together and united, folks can do whatever it takes to stop this pipeline, and we're seeing that going forward.
What kind of assistance are you looking for from the public right now, people who would like to help out? How can people help out in this effort?
Well, there are several ways for people to get involved in the campaign. The most immediate is to simply come to Texas this weekend, in fact, starting tomorrow, and participate in a training and action camp ongoing the 12th, 13th, and 14th through the weekend, which will culminate in a big day of action on Monday. So anyone that's interested in learning about campaign organizing, learning about blockading, and learning some more technical skills in this defense against destructions brought forth by industry, there's opportunities for all of those skills to be honed and developed during our action camp and to be implemented directly. For those that can't make it to Texas on such short notice or for other reasons, there's opportunities to participate from any place across the country or across the continent. We have folks doing solidarity actions in different places, strategic points in front of TransCanada office buildings and highly visible places to bring attention to what's going on. The legal issues I mentioned earlier are expensive issues to deal with for grassroots organizers, so certainly contributions and fundraisers that can lead to our legal fund and our bail funds and things like that are just necessary for this campaign to move forward. And doing the simplest things as far as social media, sharing our stories, amplifying our voices, reaching out in small communities, and getting involved is what we need. It's going to take a lot of people, a lot of mobilization, and a lot of interest to turn the tide.
Ron Seifert is a spokesperson for the Tar Sands Blockade. Updates on the blockade are available at their website, tarsandsblockade.org.